Dear Saints, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I wish to express gratitude and thanks to the brothers who are and sisters who are in the background who are keeping this daily devotion going. God bless your efforts, God bless you and your house. I just want to take a brief word with us today, and I'll read from Genesis chapter 18. From verse 17 to 19. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." I just want to ask a question in this devotion is, can God trust you or can God trust me? It's often the case where we say we put our trust in God. So it's the common thing that a man will put in his trust in a higher power. A man will put his trust in a superior being, a divine being, or something that is higher than him. But the question this day is, can God, the supreme being, the higher power, put his trust in a man? Can he put his trust in a brother or a sister, people like you and me? Now, in this scripture we've just read, we see that Abraham was having a conversation with God when just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said that he was unable to keep a certain secret about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah from Abraham, because he said, "I know Abraham. He is one who would teach his house. He would teach his generations about my law, about me, about obeying the things that I have requested or have demanded or commanded of him." So we can say that God explicitly had trust in Abraham. God had confidence in Abraham, which is a big thing. Now, it's easy for a man to put his trust in God, but how easy is it for God to say that he trusts a man or a woman? We see that not only Abraham in the scriptures did God say he had confidence about, that God did, it was not only Abraham that God put his trust in, but we see the same thing repeated in the book of Job, in the story of Job chapter 1, where there was a conversation between Satan and God. And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job, how he is perfect and he obeys me?" And Satan argued that, "Lord, it's because you bless him. It's because this is not out of a primary love for you. It's secondary. It's because he's getting something for you from you. So he's doing this to keep that thing he's getting going. So basically he's doing this not out of pure affection or devotion to you, but it's because there is something in it that he stands to gain or that he's already gained." And God says essentially, "Okay, you go prove him and see. You go, I allow you to take away those things that you think are the crutch upon which he stands. And I'll show you that he is a man who genuinely loves me and serves me." So God had confidence in Job. He knew that Job loved him, not because of the blessing of the Lord, but there was a genuine relationship and devotion to God there. And that's just a simple question that we're asking ourselves today. Yes, we trust God, but does God trust us? Can he rely on us to get things done that he wants to be done? Can he rely on us concerning anything that is after his heart? A man in whom God will put his trust, in that sense, will be a man that God would basically empower to do anything if we have the trust of God. I give you another example. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, when we come to the event that happened in the life of Cornelius. That angel that appeared to Cornelius said to Cornelius, "You go to Joppa and ask for and look for the man Peter has sent you. Peter will tell you what you need to do." Acts chapter 10. I read from verse 4. "And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said unto him, 'Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth in with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." So essentially, God had so much confidence in Peter that God's angel told Cornelius, "Go to Peter. Peter will tell you what you need to do." I mean, that's a lot of confidence he had in Peter. Because if Cornelius had gone to Peter and Peter told him that, "Look, you need to pay me X number of dollars, or you need to come to my church and pay this amount of tithe, or you need to be baptized in the name of Peter, or you need to be baptized calling the titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost over you," then there is no way on earth you would have been able to convince Cornelius that it was anything different. Essentially, God was saying to Peter, God was saying to Cornelius, or God was putting Peter in almost in the place of God. He was putting Peter in the position of that. Anything Peter said was, "Thus said the Lord to Cornelius." And if Peter had said something wrong, it will continue to be wrong till today for Cornelius and all them that would have come to the faith, in quote, after him. But God had so much confidence that Peter will tell him the truth, Peter will teach him that which is right, and Cornelius, by extension, will get what is right. I wonder, would God have ever trusted me or you or somebody else with such a great position or such a great privilege? It's a rare thing that God would do something like that, but he must trust that person. How do we come to a position that God can trust us? Absolutely. Trial must come before trust. There's no way you can trust a person explicitly without that person having been proven. That's why Paul even said, before you elect a deacon, he must have proved himself in other offices. So that means he's been given some little assignment and he's done it well. Praise the Lord. Our world is a world that is lacking in trust because it's a spillover from initially probably our politicians who say things and then don't do them. So we get used to those things that people say things that they don't do, or people say things that they don't mean. We're used to a lot of things like that spilled over from politics into religion. People of high influence in religious realms saying things that are outright lies, or doing things, living a hypocritical life. They're preaching things and doing another thing. So this has eroded trust in people over time, to the point that this lack of trust in the words of a man is affecting our relationship with God, because people are looking at the word of God as if, can this be true? Can this be trusted? Can this be reliable? And it's because of that lack of trust that we look at some promises and think, it's really hard. But to the ancients, to the people of long ago, where your word was your bond, a man was only as good as his word. Words were so important. Words were taken for real. I remember many years ago, it used to be said a promise is a debt, because when you promise someone something, it was as good as you owed him that thing. You had to redeem it. You had to fulfill it. But these days, I mean, words are very loose. People say things, retract them, say you misunderstood me, all sorts of things. And it's got no value. And unfortunately, that's spilling over into our psyche unconsciously. And we're looking at God's word in some ways like that, or things that we hear being said from the pulpit, we're looking at it with some degree of distrust, with some, just with a tiny pinch of salt. But God has explicit trust in himself, in his word, and he wants to have confidence in us because we are co-laborers with him and we are the vessels on earth, because God can do things without us, but God has chosen to do things with us, to partner with us. God could have had the gospel preached by angels, but he's chosen to use man. And he would find in a generation, in every generation, people he can partner with, people that he can trust. May yourself and myself be people that God can find trustworthy. God bless you and be with you all. This is Brother Koladi from Perth, Australia.